Dear family and friends, we have just laid to rest the body of Warren Edward Dendecker in that final resting place as he awaits the final day of Christ's return. And now we may gather with the family around the Word of God, that Word which endures forever, and seek the face of the blessing of the living God. May He bless us in this service. And let us begin together by singing Psalter number 174 and also 88. As it is in your program, Psalter number 174 and Psalter number 88.
Thank you.
Let us now open the Word of God and read together from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 40. Isaiah, chapter 40. And we will first read verses 6 through 11, and then the last verses of the chapter. Isaiah 40, starting at verse 6. The voice said, "Cry." And he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as a flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. But the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those who are with young." And then we continue at verse 27. "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." The Word of God. That last verse is a verse that was also on the obituary, as a verse that meant a lot to the family. And it's also our prayer that they would also find their strength at this time in the Lord. Let us pray together. O Lord God, thou art the great creator, the one who has made us, the one who also made Warren. Thou art the potter, and we are the clay. And thou did form him and give him as a gift to the Dendecker family. And, O Lord, as we gather together, then it may also be with thanksgiving unto thee for the gift that thou didst give in giving Warren, and also all that thou didst give to Warren, and that thou didst give us through Warren. O Lord God, thou art the one who provided for him a loving family that cared for him, that was there for him, that loved him. We thank thee also for all the care that others could provide, but also for all that he could be and he could mean for others as well. O Lord, thou art the potter, and thou didst make him, and thou didst also take him in this past week. Thou art the one who gives, and thou art the one who takes. Oh, give grace to recognize thy hand in both, to recognize thy hand also at this time, also when we could be at the graveside and we could see his body lowered in the grave. O Lord God, thou art the one who gives and the one who takes, and in the midst of it all, thou art the same, unchanging in thy goodness, in thy wisdom, in thy power, and in thy sovereignty. O Lord, thou canst do no wrong. And therefore, we look unto thee at this time, and we also pray thee that thou wouldst give comfort and strength and grace in the midst of the loss, when at times they may be at a loss of what to think or what to say. Lord, wilt thou not only give submission unto thee, but also give grace to pour out their hearts before thee, and at times, even when they may not know what to say, yet to lay it all before thee and to know thou dost know all things. And thou dost know exactly what Peter and Sandra need, not only today, but also in the days and in the months ahead, as long as thou dost spare them. O Lord, we pray thee to be with them in a rich way, that thy grace would be sufficient for them in every way. Lord, we pray that also for Emma and Noah and Catherine. Emma and Noah, as they are here, Lord, thou dost know what this means also for them, and the grief that they have had, and they will still have. But, O Lord, wilt thou also come to them in thy great compassion, for thou art the one who art full of mercy and art able to give and be what no one else can be, a God of full salvation and a God near and not afar off. Be that, O Lord, for the family, for all their loved ones. We think also of grandparents, the grandparents here, and also the grandparent who is listening along at this time. Lord, remember him in a special way, as being at a grave also may remind him of how he stood there before, as his wife has passed away. Lord, we pray thee to be with him and fulfill thy word of promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lord, thou wilt never forsake the work of thy own hands, however difficult the way may be. O Lord, is thy hand not upon him? And wilt thou not also lead him and bless him? Bless, Lord, all the grandparents. Bless all the family. Remember also the cousins and the other relatives, as it may be so difficult to see a cousin still so young pass away. Lord, wilt thou bless the whole family and also all those who were touched by the life of Warren, who cared for him. We thank thee, Lord, for the care that he could receive at school, at Peacehaven, and elsewhere. Lord, wilt thou also bless them at this time. We pray, Lord, for each one of us, We look and we say it is so unnatural to see a young boy pass away, and yet what a reminder it is that each one of us are mortal creatures. We were created not to die, but through sin, death has come into this world. And therefore it is appointed unto man once to die. Every one of us here will one day die, whether if thou, O Lord Jesus, does not come back soon. Lord, we pray that also this morning, as we gather, thou would bless thy word in order to open our eyes to see spiritual reality as it is, to see who thou art as a God of glory, the one that we will stand before one day, and that each of us would realize that we must be saved, be right with thee, and also that we may see how we may be so through the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who came, who died, who rose, and who ever lives as the one triumphant over sin, over death, and over the grave. Thou dost live, O Lord Jesus, as a Savior today, and we pray that thou wouldst also show thy glory this morning. We see death, but O Lord, open our eyes to see thee, the Prince of Life, the one who gives life to those who deserve to die, and that so we may find in him, in Christ, our life, our salvation, our comfort, our hope, our all. Bless us then this morning, enable to speak, enable also and open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive thy holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Let us sing together Psalter number 164, all the stanzas, 164, all the stanzas. Let us now turn together to the Epistle of Jude, the second last book of the Bible. The Epistle of Jude. And there we will read the last verses. We read in this second last book of the Bible, Jude, the verses 20 through 25. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. It's especially those words, him that is able to present you faultless before his presence, the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, which is our focus at this time. Dear Pete and Sandra, and Noah and Emma, and grandparents and uncles and aunts and cousins and friends, we are here on the occasion the funeral of Warren Edward Dendecker, who was born on July the 4th, 2005, and passed away October 1, 2015. He was born to the joy of his family, received as a gift, and after some time, we realized what a special gift he was in that he had a very serious medical condition. It was only 4 years ago that it was diagnosed. It may seem like so long ago. And yet it was discovered that he had Sanfilippo syndrome, and that made you love him all the more and care for him all the more. And that has taken its toll. We had thought we saw the path that he would have to go, and we thought it would be one of continued decline, not only mentally but also physically. You were bracing for suffering that would come. You thought that maybe now was a calm period of sailing before the storm, but the storm never came. Quietly, his ship entered the harbor. Suddenly. And we are here today. And everything speaks of death. But family and friends, today is not just about death. Because there's a reality far greater than death. We look at the pictures and we say, that was his life. And now it's over, but it's not over. We look around and we see things with our physical eyes, we see physical realities, but there is also a spiritual realm which we cannot see with our physical eyes, but is so very real. And we are spiritual beings, and part of that spiritual realm. And that's why, as ones who have a soul, we do not end at death. That's not our end. The passage here speaks about the presence of the glory of God. That is a great spiritual reality, that God is the God of glory, and that God can never die, and that God is full of glory. What a glory he has. as our Maker, the one who is above everything, the one who has created everything. What a glory he has as the infinite and eternal God who has no beginning and who has no end. What a glory he has as the infinite one who has no limits to his power, to his mercy, to his majesty. What a God he is and what a glory he has as a God who is light, the Bible says, pure, brilliant, holy, glorious light. As a God who is love, pure love whereby he delights in himself and in his glory. Oh, what a glory he has. And then to think that when we die, our eyes open and we see the glory of God like we've never seen before. What will that be? And to see that glory with joy, you and I must be faultless. We must be like God, being without sin and perfect love. You say, how is that possible? How can our passage speak of being faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy? Warren had physical and mental limitations that kept him from sinning in the way that others do. He showed no meanness and selfishness to his siblings, you can say that. What a mercy that is. Also, he did not have a mind that was able to think of sin in the same way that you and I. And yet, he also was not faultless. His special need was a reminder in a very vivid way that he was part of this human race which is marked by suffering, suffering which is a result of sin. All our suffering began when we fell away from God. God created us perfect. He created us without any suffering, without any tears, without any sorrow, without any death, because we were created perfectly glorifying to God, loving God with all our hearts, and delighting in God and delighting in each other. But it is when we fell, when we ate that forbidden fruit, and when we fell into sin, that we plunged ourselves into sin and into misery. And now the wages of sin is death. Warren suffered this disease, not because he or his parents sinned in a special way, but because he also was part of sinful humanity. God has said, there's none good, there's not one. Warren cannot stand in the presence of God without fault because of who Warren was. And if that is so for Warren, how much more for you and me? We have fault. We have sin. Your conscience right now tells you, you have sin. You have not been faultless. I have not been faultless in my life or in your life. We can try and push away the thought of God, but we cannot change the reality that he's our Maker and we're accountable to him. We can try and rewrite his law, but God cannot change his law of what he commands us to be, his standard of perfection. We can redefine who God is and say he's not a God who cares about sin or punishes sin, but God remains the God who is holy and cannot stand sin and can only be pleased with flawless perfection. Congregation, if this is who God is, how can any one of us ever stand faultless before God? Faultless before the infinite, glorious light and brilliance of God. He is able. He is able to present you faultless before his glory. That's a message of this text. Not that we make ourselves faultless, but he is able to take sinners and to present them before his glory without fault, without sin, with exceeding joy. This one who is able is called in verse 25, the only wise God, our Savior. He's God. As God, he's able to do what you and I can never begin to do. And he's the Savior, the Son of God, whose name is Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. How can he do so? He's the only wise God. He has a wisdom which knows how to take sinners who deserve to be banished from him and to so work in them that they are faultless before his glory. He's made a wise plan. He saw that everyone was sinful, and he sent his own Son to become a man without flaw and without fault. That's Jesus Christ. He lived in a sinful world, and never did one temptation stir up a flicker of sin inside him. He was without fault, without sin. Every moment of his life, God was pleased with him. He could be before the glory of God without fault, and yet we see him enduring the worst sufferings imaginable, the worst death. How can the faultless one suffer and die? We wonder sometimes, how can a child suffer? But how can a faultless Son of God, Jesus Christ, suffer and die? And die under the anger of God, die bearing the curse of God? It's because God put all the sin of his people on his Son. God, as it were, put all that sin under the name of the Lord Jesus in his record book. He took it all on his account, and when he took it on his account as a debt, he also paid that debt. He also paid the wages of, he received the wages of sin, which is death. He became responsible for that sin and bore that punishment. That is why he hung there upon the cross and shed his blood and was forsaken by God. He traded places with sinners. Took that sin to be able to take that sin away today and to give his perfect flawlessness to be able to stand before God without sin. How can we be faultless in the sight of God when Christ takes all our sin away and says, I've taken it with me to the cross, and I've borne the punishment of that sin on the cross. That sin is taken away. It's gone. And when he gives you his perfect flawlessness to cover you in the sight of God, so that God doesn't see your sin, but God sees the flawless obedience of Christ as if it were yours, that's salvation. He is called here the only wise God, our Savior. What an amazing message that is here, when this death reminds us that we also have to stand before God, faultless. The way to stand before God faultless one day is not by fixing yourself up and making yourself look better than other people, and hopefully God will be pleased with you. The way to be faultless is to confess, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner before a holy and a glorious God, and I can never take my sin away. He's the one who takes it away completely. What a reason to hear that gospel of such a Savior who takes sinners in all their sin and makes them faultless before God. That if you still do not know this Savior, that means you still walk through this life with guilt, and you will appear before God with guilt and be condemned by God forever. You need the Savior, and he's the one who's preached to you. And he says, whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. That's a gospel. That's a good news in a fallen world. Then you can be faultless in the sight of God. But there's more. Though you may have the blood of Christ cleanse you from all sin in the sight of God, yet even if you are a believer, you still have a sinful heart, and you still are so prone to fall and so prone to go the wrong way. And then it's such a glorious truth that this text says he's not only the Savior, but he's also able to keep you from falling. Makes us think of Warren, doesn't it? How many times did you walk with Warren and you held his hand? You kept him from falling. You kept him walking on and walking on. That hand was there for Warren. And now God says there's a hand to hold on to you, to keep you from falling. There's a hand to hold on, to keep you walking in the way that God would have you go. It's the hand of a Savior who is so full of grace to take sin away, but then to take hold of a hand of a weak and sinful person and say, I will keep you from falling. I am able. Oh, what a blessing to be able to sing, my hand is in thy hand, thou carest for me. Oh, there's a hand, it's the hand of a Savior, which stretches out, and it's a hand which also takes hold to keep all life long. And then, he is able to keep you from falling and to present faultless before the glory of God. He keeps until he will present each one who belongs to him faultless before the throne. He makes death the moment of transformation to perfection. He's able to let a sinful person breathe his last breath, and in a moment he dies, and in a moment the sin is gone. It's over. Forever. Never a wrong thought. Never a wrong word. No failure to give God all the love of your heart. Then in a moment, all sin and suffering is over. Psalm 16 says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Oh, what a joy to be there without fault in your heart and your soul, but to be perfect and dedicated to God and to delight in God like you've never before, to be without fault in the presence of a God that you know, that you love, a God who you see face to face in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a joy to be without fault also one day. Here there are all the faults and the wrongs, not only in our soul, but also in our bodies, and the pains and the suffering and the disease and everything else. But he's able to present faultless before his throne. And one day he will raise all the bodies of his people to be with him forever, with body and soul faultless. That leads us to the baptismal text. The text that was preached on at his baptism, maybe you've forgotten. But the text was, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." Little did the minister know when he baptized that child that 10 years later would be his funeral. Oh, what a text. What a reality. That is reality. Death seems so real. But more real yet is what eye has not seen or entered into the heart of man, what God has prepared for those who love him. And so we may have hope also for Warren. On that day, there was not only a sermon preached, but on that day he also received that sign and seal of the covenant of grace, that God will be a God of grace through the generations, and that was also sealed to this child. There the prayer ascended up, and since then many of God's people have been stirred up to pray for Warren, for Catherine. And there we sang what's also in the inside of your program, "Jehovah's truth shall stand forever, his covenant bonds he will not sever." And so there may be hope. If I may be personal just for a moment, it was over a year ago that I preached on this text of Jude, and driving home from the Hamilton congregation, it was one thing that filled my mind. He is able to present Warren faultless before the throne. And ever since that, whenever I think of Warren, it's this text that comes to mind. He is able. And that's all that matters. That's all that matters. He is able to present faultless before his throne. What a glorious, glorious reality. It's enough to make you step back in awe. We see the one side, we see death. But to have eyes opened by the Spirit of God to see the other side, faultless before the glory of God. And then to realize that his hand did not let go at the moment of death, but his hand took to him. I can't think of a more blessed thing to know about one who's passed away than to know and to believe that he may be faultless before the glory of God. Does that give a longing? Friends, does that give a longing to be there as well? To be without fault before the glory of God, where there's no sin and no suffering, but he is all. With exceeding joy, it says. That's a joy of all the angels. It's a joy of all the redeemed. It's the joy of God. It's a joy of Christ to see a people faultless before his throne. We are here at a funeral, and we live, we say, and we go on in life. One thing matters. Only one. Whatever age you may be, or whatever situation you may be in, only one thing matters. To know this God and Savior, the only wise God, who saves, who is able to keep from falling, and is able to present faultless before the throne. Does it make you long? for that faultlessness? And does that drive you with all your faults and all your sin and all your wrong today to that one? You're not able to save yourself. You're not able to keep yourself. You're not able to present yourself faultless. He is able. And he does. To the glory of his name. No wonder this passage then says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." Let us sing together Psalter number 31, stanzas 3, 4, and 7. 31, the stanzas 3, 4, and 7. Let us pray. O Lord God, then to be satisfied, to view the glories that abide, the glories of Thee, O Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to awake in righteousness. O, we pray that would be the longing of each one of us, that none of us would be at home here and be satisfied simply with the things of this earth which we will so soon leave behind. Lord, open our eyes to see those things not seen, to see thy glory, to see our sin, and to see the great power of the only wise God, the Savior, who is able to save, to keep from falling, and to present faultless before the throne. Oh, to flee to him in faith and find that he is able because he is willing, and as a willing one, he is able. Lord, we pray once again for Pete and Sandra, for Noah and Emma and Catherine, and all the loved ones of Warren. Lord, wilt thou strengthen in the time ahead, and may they find that hand of the Savior stretching out to grasp hold of them and to lead them and to keep from falling and to give that comfort. Lord, we pray to watch over us further in this day. Hear us, we pray, and receive our thanks that thou dost give us thy word, which shows us the things we cannot otherwise see, but which are so very real. Receive our thanks, hear our prayer, and bless, in spite of all our sin, and for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. We will sing together Psalter number 227, all the stanzas, and then we will have the family address.